Good evening. I'll call the City of Atascadero Community Redevelopment Agency meeting to order for this Tuesday, March 13th. Roll call, please.
Board Member Brendler.
Here.
Board Member Clay.
Yes.
Board Member Luna.
Here.
Vice Chairperson Bayrou.
Here.
Chairperson O'Malley.
Here.
All present.
Thank you. We now have a community forum, which is an opportunity for anyone from the public to address the board on any item not on the agenda that pertains to the redevelopment agency. Seeing no one approach, we will close the community forum portion. Any board announcements or reports? Seeing none, we have a consent calendar. Any items wishing to be pulled by any member of the public? Seeing none, a motion.
Move to adopt the consent calendar.
Second.
Motion on the floor. Roll call, please.
Board Member Luna.
Yes.
Board Member Brendler.
Yes.
Board Member Clay.
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Bayrou.
Yes.
Chairperson O'Malley.
Yes.
5-0. Motion passes.
Thank you. We have a management report. Abatement of graffiti within the project area.
Mayor and Council, we have a graffiti removal program in the redevelopment agency. This is a resolution that enhances the findings that the agency board, in addition to our redevelopment plan, so that it allows us like that.
Thank you. I have a question from Member Clay.
Yeah, Wade, there's been a lot of graffiti, certainly down my way, the railroad tracks and the bridge over the Salinas River, and one of my constituents strongly recommended that we put up a reward, something, $500, $1,000 reward for any person that would get involved and lead to the arrest of some of these people that are doing this, and it might be money well spent. I was wondering what the rest of the redevelopment group felt.
Thank you. Any other board comments?
Well, what amounts were you thinking? What did you say?
I just said $500 or $1,000. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe we could hear from the police chief as to how effective he thinks a reward would be.
Why don't we go ahead and get all board questions out, and then we'll ask staff to comment. And maybe the police chief could be prepared on that question. Board Member Brendler.
We participate in Crime Stoppers, don't we?
It sounds like we have two questions.
Crime Stoppers is countywide, and I know they offer rewards for various crimes.
That's a good point. Go ahead, Chief.
We do participate with Crime Stoppers, and that certainly is an option to be able to offer a reward through them, which they already have a mechanism in place to be able to make sure that the reward is credited to the proper individual.
So you're saying there's already a reward system? Do you know what the money is?
Well, no, there's a process by which we can do that. If we choose to offer a reward, there's already a process in place that can monitor it and make sure it's done correctly.
Go ahead, Mr. Clay.
Well, it seems to me, reading here on the average, abatement of a single graffiti incident costs approximately $400. To me, I think a reward system, because people see these, kids or young adults doing this, and with a reward system out there, why they may be, cell phones and all that, way I think it would be a good idea.
Thank you. Other member?
I had a question as to how, what amount would be effective in deterring?
I think something in the neighborhood around $500 would probably be the most reasonable, because it would take enough to get someone to actually come forward on it to make it reasonable. And if it does match up with the cost of abatement, then it seems like that would be a reasonable amount.
Thank you. Other board member questions? Ms. Bayrou?
I have a question. How does the public become aware that we have a Crime Stoppers and knows that there's a reward system out there?
We could do some public education through the paper in that regard, or have some signage at different places. So those that go by it and see it, might be able to be aware of it. Crime Stoppers has advertisements as well, so we can certainly look into that. And also, they may have even a schedule that fits certain types of crimes that they found to be more appropriate. So it may even be less than the $500, but we could follow their guideline as to what they would use.
I just have a follow-up question.
Sure.
So if someone calls in, do they only get the reward if it leads to a prosecution, or is there usually some kind of determination before they get the reward?
Typically, it's tied to an arrest.
Do sometimes these kids get arrested or picked up and then maybe let go or, you know, given to their parents or whatever you want to call it, or do they always, when you catch them, do you always charge them?
Well, even if they're released to the parent, they're still charged with it. It's just a matter of it being a misdemeanor and a juvenile offense. Typically, they're not, you know, they wouldn't automatically spend any time like a juvenile hall, so we do what is most expeditious in terms of the processing. So even though that they're released back to the parents, the criminal process still kicks in, so that that really doesn't have any effect on it.
I see. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. Any other board member questions? I have a follow-up for our city manager, but I want to make sure all board members... sounds like there's consensus to follow up in this direction. I have some concerns, however, that we have a number of requests coming forward for redevelopment funds and a number of priorities, and I hope that rather than having these come in piecemeal over time, that we have a chance when we review the budget process this summer that we also look at all of the requests coming in for redevelopment and be able to prioritize these one against the other. I'm also concerned with this particular project that it does say $400 per incident, but we don't have a total amount being recommended or suggested, and I would like to see some budget amount that would be realistic to project that we may need, and it sounds like there's also some consensus to put in a reward amount. So would this be coming back to this board for with additional detail?
It's actually already in the budget. It's one of your budgeted items in the redevelopment agency for $15,000.
So, total.
If you want to add a total or give me a cap of amount that you want to set up for the reward system, Chief Couch can work with Crime Stoppers like you just indicated and develop a system and some publicity that would be within whatever cap you authorized.
So do you think we have enough within the existing budgeted amount for the abatement as well as any rewards we might want to offer, certainly to get us through this budget cycle into this summer?
I don't believe so, but I don't know that for a fact.
Do you know how much we've spent to date?
I do not.
I see a couple first, council members.
Well, just a comment. Can we go through, and it looks like we have consensus on the reward. Can you do that, Wade, or does it have to come back? I know it's a small amount.
I have authority to do a small amount. I could do it within the budget. If you want to add something to the budget or if you want to set up a specific program, then I'd want some direction. If you want me to do it within the $15,000, I'm not exactly sure what is remaining funds for the $15,000, and so if we need that for the continued operations, then
Well, to me, it seems like it could end up saving money because the less graffiti, basically there's usually three or four taggers around, and when they're caught, you'll see that the graffiti goes away for a while, and then. They resurface or some new ones do. So I would like to see, hope we have consensus just for Chief Couch to set up some sort of reward system.
So won't it impact us if we come back in 2 weeks with an update?
If you would approve the resolution, then we have the findings in place and the program continue. And I'll look into the Crime Stoppers issue, report back to you if I need additional budget.
Okay, let me check in before we go with more questions. Is there consensus to look into a possible reward and how much we've expended to date and see if additional funds are needed, and this will be brought back in 2 weeks for further consideration? Is there?
Yeah, I think it's appropriate.
Okay, I think we have consensus on that. And then I've got, Ms. Barrow and then Mr. Brindler has questions. Mr. Clay.
I was just going to say that I would feel more comfortable if he comes back with that second part, the Crime Stoppers part, and we can just approve the resolution.
I agree. I'd rather look at the whole package together. Mr. Brindler?
Wade, as far as the labor that's involved in the abatement process, who are we utilizing for that purpose?
Public Works and some contract.
Is it possible that we can utilize individuals who are either sentenced from the courts or through probation? for community service to utilize their labor in some of this process, save ourselves some money?
There's some potential there, yes. There, you know, certainly are the scheduling and oversight issues, and it, you know, it's not. We can give you some information back on that.
I know that previously in the agency I worked for, we utilized that labor,
right,
on Saturdays, you know, on weekends, and it was a cost savings for us.
We are using them.
Okay.
Thank you. Councilmember Clay.
You know, graffiti is just like a blight on a community. I mean, it's one of the worst things that there is, in my opinion. And if it's 15,000 or 30, whatever, I mean, I think it's important that we knock it out as soon as possible. And it's terrible stuff. It gives our whole community a bad light and a bad reputation.
Thank you. Any other council member comments before we go to Councilmember Luna? Okay. We'll open up to the public. Any public comment on this item, abatement of graffiti within the redevelopment agency project area? Seeing no one approach, we'll close public comment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I make a motion that the board adopt the draft resolution pursuant to the provisions of the Health and Safety Code Section 33,420.2 to allow the use of agency funds to remove graffiti within the project area, and direct the city executive director to come back with a report on a possible rewards program.
Second.
Yes, including the budget.
Including the budget.
Thank you. And we have a second by,
yes,
Board,
sir,
Member Clay. Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Board Member Luna.
Yes.
Board Member Clay.
Yes.
Board Member Brendler.
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Bureau.
Yes.
Chairperson O'Malley.
Yes.
5-0. Motion passes.
Thank you. Next item on the agenda, Executive Director Report.
No report.
Seeing no report, we will adjourn until our City Council meeting at 7 o'clock p.m. Thank you.
Agents will be done by Girl Scout Troop 479. If you'd please rise.
Color guard attention. Audience attention. Color guard advance. Color guard, post your colors. Color guard, salute your flag. Will you please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, by liberty and justice for all.
Audience, you may be seated. Color guard dismissed.
Thank you to Girl Scout Troop 479. May I have a roll call, please?
Board Member Bayrou.
Here.
Board Member Clay.
Yes.
I'm sorry, Council Member O'Malley.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Brendler.
Here.
Mayor Luna.
Here.
All present.
The next item on the agenda is community forum. This time is set aside for people to speak on items that are not on the agenda. I ask that you direct your comments to the entire council and not to any individual, that you do not use slanderous, profane, or negative personal remarks concerning individuals absent or present, and I ask that the audience be respectful and courteous to the speakers and refrain from vocal expressions of approval or disapproval, such as clapping or heckling. First speaker.
My name is Jason Byard at 6855 Portola Road. I'm here representing the Ministerial Association and was asked to come and open the meeting in prayer. So bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for tonight. Lord, I thank you that we live in a country, Lord, where we have these opportunities, Lord, and these freedoms to come and exercise, Lord, our right of freedom of speech, Lord, to let our voices be heard, God, in decision-making, Lord. I pray that you would bless the council members tonight, Lord. I pray that you would guide and direct them, Lord, as you would have them to go, Lord. And I just, I thank you for our city, God. I pray that you would bless it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Baird.
Community Outreach Director, addressing us and helping us understand what we're about to undergo with that realignment that the schedule is going to be happening here by the summer. So anyone that has a business along that corridor there or residents, you are welcome to attend. It's $10 for the continental breakfast, and we should be done by 8:30 in the morning. So for anybody in business and having to hurry off and get to work, we'll be able to do that. So I extend that invitation to all of us, all of you out there, because it is a very important thing that's about to start happening here. We're looking forward to it. Thank you.
Thank you, Joanne.
I'm Joan O'Keefe at Tascadero. 2 weeks ago, you allocated the CDBG block grant funds for 2007. And at that time, I questioned the funding for the Good Samaritan Shelter. Tonight, I want to speak about that application and more generally about the CDBG process in Atascadero. For many years, I followed this funding process. I remember when many organizations used to come to our meetings and ask for some small part of the funds. After two consecutive years of putting very large sums into the revolving loan fund and ignoring the pleas of other applicants, some stopped coming. The revolving loan fund wasn't ever very successful in Atascadero, and oftentimes the funds were not really put to work. At one time, the agenda packet for the council and the public included the complete applications of those applications that were approved and a summary statement why other applicants were not approved. These applications are no longer included, hence there's less scrutiny. Reasons for denial of applications are not given. At one time, they were. And at one time, there was an opportunity for real public input. At the last meeting, Councilman Clay asked if one applicant's small request could be approved. He didn't get a response. In Paso, applicants still show up. Based on their requests, some are granted, not in Atascadero. I went to one finance committee meeting where the decision is made regarding who gets what. It was a waste of my time. The decisions were a done deal. You may not have intended this to be an internal, closed, informational, and decisional-making process, but that is what it has turned into. After the last meeting, I requested the application, and I went through it. For me, there were a lot of red flashing lights. The request for Good Samaritan Shelter, North County, was for the Good Samaritan Shelter, North County Detox. The applicant requested $100,000 from Paso, Atascadero, and the county for a total of $300,000 and was granted $50,000 by Atascadero. The application is 90% about a homeless shelter. Only Atascadero, in its wisdom, thought that the application was worthy of funding. That should have been a red alert. I spoke at length to the county planner who oversees the CDBG funds. Basically, he said the application was incomplete and not convincing. Paso had the same concerns, and it is their policy to not duplicate existing services. The application says they will be addressing the root causes of homelessness. They will have a Head Start program and mental health might provide if they use to look for an appropriate site. Further, they have underestimated the cost of construction. If you've been reading the articles on meth abuse in our county, you know that the county has been looking for a detox center. They actually allocated some funds, and this was a number of years ago. They couldn't find anything. Homelessness, like drug abuse, is a regional problem, and all the government agencies need to work together. North County can't support two homeless shelters. I was also very concerned about the $181,000 of administrative funds that have been accumulating for the last 4 years. This is money that should have been put to use, and I can't help but believe that if more staff went into real analysis of the applications, more oversight, and more information being made available, that the accumulation would not be so great. And you've also been noticed by the county that they have a concern about these accumulated funds. In summary, I hope you will make the CDBG process more transparent in the future and that there will be more oversight. These funds are too precious to risk on an organization's wish list. I sincerely hope this $50,000 is not money down the drain. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. O'Keefe.
Good evening. My name is Terry Richardson, and I've lived here in Atascadero for about 2.5 years. I live at 4680 Yerba. I was born in San Luis, and I'm a lifelong county resident. I came tonight to just tell you that I support Walmart, and I support it for a variety of reasons besides shopping opportunities and employment, and I hope you'll really think about allowing it to come into our city. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Richardson.
Hi, my name is Mark Phillips. I live on Santa Lucia Road in Atascadero. And first off, I'd like to ask for any comment from the City Council regarding the campaign finance reform proposals that were made at the couple meetings ago and I believe was taken up during the strategic planning session. I'd be interested in knowing, you know, when we might see that on an agenda. You know, just for general purpose.
The direction was sent to our staff to come back with a list of cities, in particular the ones in this county. When it's coming back, I don't know.
We have not scheduled a date. However, Councilmember Brenler and I are going to a conference on it this Thursday.
So hopefully soon, hopefully before the next election.
Yes, and well before, because contributions can accrue before a resolution gets passed, and they might still be used. So the sooner we get working on that, I think the better, in order to try and take the influence of money out of politics as much as possible. The rest of my talk is going to be a summation of some articles I've been reading, and I'm trying to fill in for Tom Comar and his efforts at as opposed Walmart to try and educate the public about the effects of a Walmart in town. I won't do nearly as good a job as he will, but hopefully he's got some minor surgery, hopefully minor surgery that he's recovering from, and he'll be back on his feet soon. I've got several studies here, and the recurring theme is that the promises made by Walmart just don't seem to work out quite right. And the thing that we want people to understand is that aside from all, wages go down, overall wages go down, countywide wages can decrease as much as $2.5 million or 3% for a single Walmart coming into the county. There's one here at the very end caught my eye. The claim that that consumers will save $2,329 a year for the average household. There are some people that took a look at that study, and surprise, surprise, it's fraught with problems. And there's major internal inconsistencies. And when you look at the thing, and it says they find internal inconsistencies and finds that the firm's statistical analysis fails the most rudimentary sensitivity checks. The authors state, once we address these weaknesses, the statistical and practical significance of Walmart's price effects effectively vanish. So people who think that they're going to end up saving a lot of money by shopping at Walmart, even they may be mistaken if this study is correct. Revenue, it tends to go down. The tax revenue that you lose from the businesses that close is greater than the tax revenue you get from the Walmart that opens. The number of jobs created at the Walmart is less than the number of jobs that close, that they're lost as a result. Time and again, you're finding this. And One of the things we're finding that cities are doing, like Bakersfield, is they're looking at projects not just, well, in fact, the California Environmental Quality Act requires that projects be looked at for their economic impact, so that an economic impact report needs to be generated for any project. And we think this is a good idea, not just for Walmart, but for any, you know, any proposal. You need to look at the economic impact. And in Bakersfield, it's amazing. They're building two super centers in Bakersfield, and both of these got shut down in mid-construction because they did not file a proper economic impact report. But the thing that's amazing is that both of these stores, they're both super center stores, 230,000 square feet, I believe, each, and they're 4 miles apart. And I'm sorry, but there's no business model on earth that I can imagine where that's going to be beneficial for a community, two super centers 4 miles apart. These people come in, and I don't know quite what their thinking is, but it's not really thinking for the better of the community. And so we hope that you'll continue to be informed on this subject, and we're certainly going to do our part to do that, and all this information will be on our website so people can access it there. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Phillips.
The website is opposewalmart.org.
Good evening, Mayor Luna, council members. I'd like to just talk briefly about our general plan. I'm sorry, Sorrel Marks, Atascadero. I'd like to speak briefly about our general plan, and if we can visualize that we're having this discussion in my back patio, it might make the information a little bit more clear. As you all know, the general plan promises to protect Atascadero citizens from harmful and annoying effects of exposure to excessive noise. Our general plan pledges to preserve tranquility of residential areas. Even our municipal code pledges to protect persons from excessive noise levels, which are detrimental to public health, contrary to public interest, interfere with communication, direct conflict with Atascadero's general plan and the municipal code. We've been pleading with the city for protection from this nuisance noise for more than 11 years, from the time when our children were infants and they couldn't nap because of the noise. Motorcycle tracks simply don't belong in civilized neighborhoods.
Thank you.
It's the civil part of civilization that curbing those activities which impact others and destroy the continuity and the tranquility of neighborhoods. So I'm asking, please, to honor the promises in our general plan and stop this nuisance.
Thank you, Ms. Marks.
Thank you.
Good evening, Mayor Luna and City Council members. I'm Tino Santos, and I'm just over here. I want to clarify something. I don't own a cent of stock in Walmart. The only thing I care about Walmart is that I like their prices. It provides, excuse me, many jobs for people who need jobs, and it pays more than some fast food stores. The weird stuff here, it just annoys me. Some people are either living in the land of Oz or they are not totally honest. 2 or 3 weeks, I have done a little research over there on a former factory outlet now called Mission Hogs, and the place is dead or dying. You can play football there on almost any day of the week. I talked to a lady who worked over there, and she said, I hope something comes here. We're dying here. I have no objection to those people who object Walmart, because they have the right to do so. As much as those of us who want Walmart have the right to shop there and not be denied the right to have a Walmart in Atascadero. I mean, the audacity, the pride, the arrogance of some people who think that they love this earth more than the rest of us do, that they like trees better than we do, that Walmart's going to destroy everything. Talk about Bakersfield, talk about Turlock. Let the people there take care of their own problems. We need jobs, and we need them badly. To those of you who don't want Walmart, stay away from there. There will be less noise and less traffic if you don't get over there. I don't care what you do with yourself. Go spend your money on Chinese products at Target or Long's or any other store that buys the same products from China as Walmart does, probably charge you a little bit more. I'm concerned with jobs for people. I have two young sons who need jobs. I have a daughter. They're working and I'm making much money. We at Atascadero is a wonderful place, but let's be realistic. We can't live just say, well, it's unique. Yes, yeah, it can become very unique and very bleak if we don't provide with jobs. Our streets are a disgrace. I go to Paso Robles a lot because I enjoy eating there and shopping there. So I'm angry with people who think they know better than the rest of us, who think they are stewards of this earth, the Walmarts are the devil. I mean, this is just outrageous. The lies, the half-truths they spread. They have movies they show against Walmart. Well, Walmart has movies that shows people work there and they're happy. They don't like it. Well, stay away from there. I remember when we were picking the porno store, some people told us, well, you don't like the porno store, you don't have to go in there. The same thing with Walmart. The same thing applies. You don't like Walmart, stay out of there. But don't keep the rest of us who'd like to shop there. And as I said, the only reason I like Walmart, I like the prices. The people treat you very decently, and many things are available there. And I hope all of you who are against Walmart, I'm talking about to the city council now, that you think twice. Because if we don't get Walmart, my taxes and everybody else's taxes are going to go up. They'll have to. This city needs the money. Our streets are a disgrace. Our sidewalks are a disgrace. We're very fortunate. Nobody has sued us yet for falling on some of these big cracks on sidewalks of Atascadero. Thank you so much, and God bless all of you. But don't let environmentalists, socialists prevail in this fight against Walmart, because they don't have to go there. Stay out of there, but allow the rest of us to go there and shop there if we want to. That's still the America that I came to, the America that I love, the America that should be. But how much longer, I don't know, because people who turn away from God, they think that they got to save the earth. God put us over here. God created the earth. He's going to take care of it. You and I will be long gone, and Atascadero will still be here. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Santos. Seeing no one else at the microphone, I'll close it to the public and bring it back to the council. I need a motion to approve the agenda.
Can we talk about some comments?
You want to make some comments? Like,
well,
please use the lights. Councilwoman Barreau.
Sorry about that, George. Well, I wanted to just make some comments about Sorrel Marx's presentation, and I know that had been brought before the council before, and I guess we can see that this is still an issue, and I think it deserves another review. And if there's council consensus, I would like to send what we had previously considered, which was a ban of off-road motorcycles in residential areas. That was a previous recommendation by our police chief. And I would like to have that issue sent back to the Planning Commission.
Is there a council consensus? Anyone? Mayor Pro Tem Brenner?
Yes, I'm in agreement.
I'm in agreement.
No, I'm not in agreement.
Councilmember Clay is against.
I would support a report similar that we had before that shows us how enforcement has gone, where the problems are, and just an update to see how the enforcement has gone, because I understand that complaints had dropped significantly from the last changes, and maybe there could be some changes considered if that still needs to be the case, but it might be time to have the chief report how enforcement has gone in the last year.
I think that could be part of the what goes to the Planning Commission.
I believe so. Not that much time has changed, and it's time that we need to bring it back and have some more public comment. When it goes to Planning Commission, it'll be a public hearing. The public can come out and let us know if there's still problems.
Councilmember Clay.
Yes. Certainly, if it goes to Planning Commission, why? I can tell you what the results will be, but I think what we have here is maybe one or two people that are having a specific problem with maybe a specific neighbor, and that should be addressed. We can go ahead.
How enforcement has gone, and if we can see if it's in isolated areas where there's some problems, maybe there's some changes can be made there before we make something that basically takes away property rights across the board. And second area I'm concerned about, I've always supported that if we can come up with an alternative, We have had some folks working on motorcycle parts, much like we create a skate park, and we're working on a BMX park, and we have areas for horses to ride. And I think this has been a council supportive of parks and recreation programs. I think we need to look at some of those alternatives. I know of many cases where there have been a number of families involved with motorcycle riding where it's been not only a crime prevention and activities that families can do together, and I hate to see us lose that without giving at least some thought to how we can continue to help that to occur within our city. So I hope we look at other areas, not only how can we help mitigate some problems if there are some isolated problems in our community, but let's also look for some alternatives for the folks that do and enjoy this activity.
Let me just interject here that this is not on the agenda, and that all we're doing is asking staff, three of us, asking staff to take this through a public process, which is what we essentially had before, a report from the police chief who recommended for it, back to the Planning Commission for one public hearing and then two public hearings before the City Council, where there'll be plenty of time to debate the issue.
And I'm just suggesting in that report that we get an update on how are we doing on alternatives and how are we doing on enforcement options rather than just looking at a ban.
And I said I didn't have a problem with that. Councilmember Barreau?
Actually, I
was just going to say that our time to debate it will come in the future, so I think we should just send it to the Planning Commission.
Well, I do have something to say,
though. Councilmember Clay?
It's easy to say no, you know, to everything, just no, no, no. And I'd like to have the Marks give me a call. I would like to go out there when they're having those problems. I'd like to hear it for myself. People right around my place just goes in one ear and out the other, don't think much of it. But I would like to have them give me a call. I'd love to go out there and just see what's going on. And the other thing is we do need a place for these kids to ride. On the other side of the sewer farms, there's an area down there that could be used as a motorcycle park. I'm sure we'd have resistance. It's kind of in the 50-year plain, you know, as far as the floodplain. But I'm sure there's going to be resistance from the environmentalists that you're going to be stomping on the flora and fauna and so on and so forth. But there are places, if we have the will, to go ahead and do it, and there are places to provide riding areas for these people.
Councilmember O'Malley.
Yes, I think I heard Mayor say there was consensus to look at all the aspects that I suggest. If that's included in the report back, I will support.
Yeah, I think that's no problem with, I don't have a problem with sending the statistics, et cetera, to the Planning Commission.
And an update on alternatives in terms of what's our current status on potential motorcycle parks. I know the county was looking into it, and are there any options in that area?
Mayor Pro Tem Blenner?
Yes, and having not participated in the past on these very issues, I'd like to visit the issue and debate the issue because I think it is important.
I do.
Councilmember O'Malley.
Thank you. I guess it's no surprise the question of Walmart has come up again, and I did want to clarify with our staff. My understanding is it's always been the intention that if a project is brought forward of any sizable amount in the Del Rio area, that a full environmental impact report would be required, including an economic analysis. And my understanding is, of course, that is something that we would want to determine, is what is the impact on our city. We would not want to look at studies that have occurred in other areas specific to their area. And could I have either a city manager or our community development director just do a brief review of the steps that would be involved? Because my understanding is we would have a public process where every community member could raise questions that would be presented to this CEQA-required environmental impact report and economic analysis. All questions would be answered by an independent analyst, and then we would have that for consideration as a community. Could you outline that briefly?
I think we've all heard the answer to that, but there could be some people in the community who haven't, so maybe if you make it brief.
Yes, thank please. You, Mr. Mayor. The way the process would work, if we receive a new application for a general plan amendment out at that site, we will do what's called the initial checklist. That's part of the CEQA process, where you go through and look at a variety of different potential environmental impact areas of concern, depending on the findings, and with a EIR and a Walmart, we know we'll have significant issues related to traffic, economics, that sort of thing. That will trigger the EIR. At that point, we will retain a qualified consultant to prepare the environmental impact report. That process will start with what's called a notice of preparation, which is a notice to the public that we intend to begin the process of an EIR. That will allow the public the opportunity to come and comment on their areas of concern. During the EIR process, there'll be public review drafts that are circulated that gives the public, once again, the ability to comment on the entire document. The EIR will then have to go to a planning commission for recommendation before city council. The city council will hold the final hearing and make the final decision on the EIR. But the EIR process is a public information and disclosure process. It's all designed to give the public information about the project and the ability to comment on a project.
Thank you. Councilmember Barreau.
I just wanted to follow up on Joan O'Keefe's comments about the CBG grant process. And I do have a concern, and I'm not sure. We didn't, you know, in our packets, we didn't really get a lot of information as well. And I wouldn't want anything to hinder the progress of having a homeless shelter in North County. And so in the future, I think it would be beneficial to have a little more information, because I don't want any competition with ECHO and Good Samaritan and EOC. I'm hoping they're all going to work together on this.
Well, I would certainly agree with that. Was the rest of the council given the entire package of applications?
No.
Okay. I think in the future, I think that's appropriate.
Okay.
Councilmember O'Malley?
Thank you. And I agree. I think all council members should receive the full packet. I did want to comment, as a former member of the EOC, there's certainly agreement that we need one shelter and we need cooperation by all. However, there's some parallel processing occurring, which I think is very important right now, because no one has successfully accomplished a homeless shelter other than ECHO in our area. And I think everyone wants to work with ECHO to make sure this is a long-standing solution for our community.
Homelessness is not unique to Atascadero or this county, and it's a major problem in the entire country. And I think that any efforts, particularly by volunteer groups like ECHO, should be applauded. Excuse me. I suggest we move on. Next item is approval of the agenda.
So move.
Got a motion by Councilmember Barreau and a second,
second
by Councilmember O'Malley to approve the agenda. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Barreau?
Yes.
Councilmember O'Malley?
Yes.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Brendler?
Yes.
Mayor Luna?
Yes.
5-0. Motion passes.
Next item on the agenda is some presentations. The first one is a proclamation for declaring March 2007 Girl Scouts Make the World a Better Place Week. That proclamation will be read by Councilmember Clay.
And I may not get any cookies after I read this, because I'm working with one eye here, but I'm going to do my best for the Girl Scouts. Whereas Monday, March 12th, 2007 marks the 95th anniversary of the Girl Scouts of the USA, founded by Juliet Gordon Lowe in 1912 in Savannah, Georgia, and whereas throughout its distinguished history, the Girl Scouts has helped build millions of girls and women of courage, confidence, and character. Whereas through the dedication of time, talent of volunteers of different backgrounds, abilities, and areas of expertise, the Girl Scout organization thrives for girls in so many settings. Whereas through Girl Scouting unique leadership development programs, girls define leadership by making the world a better place by discovering, connecting, and taking action in their communities. And whereas Girl Scouting takes an active role in increasing girls' awareness of opportunities available to them today in math, science, sports, technology, health, and fields that can expand their horizon.
And whereas more than 3.7 million Girl Scout members nationwide will be celebrating the 95th year of the American tradition with nearly 50 million women who grew up participating in Girl Scouting and exemplify the impact of this amazing movement. Now, therefore, be it resolved that, and I'm not George Luna, but George Luna, by virtue of the authority vested in me as mayor, and that's Mayor George Luna of the city of Atascadero, do hereby applaud the commitment of Girl Scouts has made to America's girls, and proudly proclaim the week of March 11th through 17th, 2007, as Girl Scouts Make the World a Better Place.
Leader of Girl Scout Troop 479, 14 members strong here in Atascadero, and also of the Girl Scouts of Tres Condados. Two of the girls who will be serving you tonight have been in our troop since kindergarten, and several others joined us shortly after that. Most of the girls now are in fifth and sixth grade and getting ready to bridge to cadet Girl Scouts. Girl Scouts and the volunteers who lead them contribute to the health and enrichment of our community in many ways. Girl Scouts in this area collect supplies for our soldiers and send them holiday greetings. They collect food for loaves and fishes. They help the local Humane Society. They help children in poverty through Mothers Without Borders. Each year, they create a basket of gifts for the first baby girl born at Twin Cities on March 12th, the Girl Scout anniversary. They donate funds to countless nonprofits. And we participate in our own Operation Gratitude program to send Girl Scout cookies to troops stationed overseas. And I just want to say that our troop recently received a letter from a sergeant who is stationed in Afghanistan training the Afghani army. We had sent a Valentine package, and this is someone who hails from the town of Creston and was very grateful to receive a packet from Girl Scouts in Atascadero. Girl Scouts are here to serve the girls of our community, but none of this, of course, would happen without the support of our dedicated volunteers. On this, our 95th anniversary, I want to acknowledge all the Girl Scouts and the volunteers who lead them, who do make the world a better place, and who help create tomorrow's women leaders today. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next item is a proclamation declaring Atascadero Tree City, USA. This will be read by Councilmember Burrow.
Thank you, Mayor Luna. Tree City, USA, 2007. Whereas in 1872, J. Sterling Morton proposed to the Nebraska Board of Agriculture that a special day be set aside for the planting of trees. And whereas this holiday, called Arbor Day, was first observed with the planting of more than a million trees in Nebraska, and Arbor Day is now observed throughout the nation and the world. And whereas trees reduce the erosion of our precious topsoil by wind and water, cut heating and cooling costs, moderate the temperature, clean the air, produce oxygen, and provide habitat for wildlife. And whereas trees are a renewable resource, giving us paper, wood for our homes, fuel for our fires, and countless other wood products. And whereas trees in our city increase property values, enhance the economic vitality of business areas, and beautify our community. And wherever they are planted, are a source of joy and spiritual renewal. And whereas a National Arbor Day Foundation program, Tree City USA, recognizes U.S. towns and cities which develop comprehensive urban forestry programs. And whereas the city of citizens to support efforts to protect our trees and woodlands and participate in the educational activities planned by the Native Tree Association. And accepting this tonight is Corey Meyer, one of our own.
Corey has been working for the city how many years?
21 years now. Mayor Luna and Council, in honor of Arbor Day, Anta planted three Valley Oaks at our work day, which we had last Saturday at the Otto Heilman Grove. And also, Councilmember Ellen Burrow and family showed up to help us out, and we really appreciate that. We're in the process of cleaning up the Heilman Grove and also continue to maintain the demonstration garden at the pavilion. One of our biggest accomplishments this last year was helping with the completion of the Atascadero Native Tree Inventory. With the expertise of Tom Gaiman and his company, the East West Forestry Associates, along with the support from the city's Community Development Department and Warren Frace, and also the motivator Joan O'Keefe and some ANTA members, we have a tree inventory and report to be proud of. This will benefit us for years to come and is an excellent model for other cities to follow. And in closing, I would just like to thank the city for their continued support. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Corey, for all you do.
Okay.
That tree inventory is available on the web at atascadero.org. Next item on the agenda is San Luis Obispo County Public Health Department presentation on the Mosquito Abatement Program. Kim Katrina.
Thank you so much for having me, and good evening. I'm here this evening to give you a little bit of general information about West Nile virus. It is here in our county now, so it's important that everybody have a little bit of info on it. And I also wanted to talk to you more specifically about what's going on here in your city as far as mosquito abatement and the programs that we do have going on here in your area. First off, a little bit of general information about our program in West Nile virus. Our program was initially started as just a surveillance program under the Ag Commissioner's Office in 2003. In 2004, we hired on two additional technicians to give us a total of three, and we moved over to the Environmental Health Department under the Public Health Department, and we serve the entire county. And we are funded through the general fund, unlike some of the programs you may be familiar with where there's a special benefit assessment for the program itself. Our main focus is the reduction of mosquito species that will carry West Nile virus that breed here in the county. This is a slide showing you the transmission cycle. Generally, the transmission cycle remains between the bird. At the bottom, you see that there's 80% of the people who are going to be bitten by an infected mosquito and develop an infection are not going to show any symptoms, and they're the lucky ones. Then you have the top 20% that will develop what we call West Nile fever, and most people don't know that this is any different than the flu. Most of them won't go to the hospital. They'll just feel like they have the flu, nausea, vomiting, sometimes rash and fever. But where we get concerned is this top 1% that develop the central nervous system disease. This can include meningitis, encephalitis, acute flaccid paralysis, meningoencephalitis, and these people a lot of times will have lasting effects. They will have what's been described as polio-like effects, if any of you remember that, and it can be very devastating and lifelong. And as you can see, luckily, West Nile virus is not very often fatal. There's only about 10% of that 1% that will actually die from West Nile virus. So it's not very fatal, but it does, those people that develop the central nervous system disease certainly can have long-lasting effects. And I know initially when West Nile virus came into the country, they thought that it was going to be mostly the older population that developed the central nervous system disease and was really infected. But there seem to be finding now that while it does hit the older populations more, the over 50 populations, there are a lot of younger people that do develop the central nervous system disease and actually have long-lasting effects. I just got done with a conference where a young lady who's about my age, she was working for the CDC. She was she liked to ice skate, and she was a competition shooter, actually came down with a central nervous system disease and was hospitalized for several weeks. When she came to talk to us, she told us about how she had been misdiagnosed with the flu several times and a little bit about her story. And it was very sad. She said that she could no longer ice skate because her balance had been destroyed and that she didn't have feeling in her fingers, so she could no longer competition shoot. And she was just about my age, so it's not just the older population that this affects. This chart shows you the incidence of West Nile virus here in San Luis Obispo County. Down at the bottom, it's kind of hard to see, but we have been very lucky. We've only had two people in the county infected with West Nile virus, one in 2004 and one in 2006. You can see that the dead birds that we do use as sentinels did peak in 2005, and our program did make some modifications to our treatments. And in 2006, we did see a reduction in the number of dead birds and horses that did come up positive with West Nile virus. We hope that this was due to our modifications, and there was also a reduction of the number of West Nile virus cases overall in California. Hopefully all of you are aware of the personal protection measures. All the personal protection is about preventing those mosquito bites. You want to eliminate all the sources of water that you can around your home so that those mosquitoes won't breed in those. And if you can avoid being out at dusk and dawn when those mosquitoes are very effective against preventing mosquito bites. A little bit about why mosquito abatement is important. Not only are we concerned with West Nile virus, but we're also certainly concerned with quite a wide number of other diseases that the mosquitoes can carry. There are 12 mosquito-borne viruses known to occur in California. Our neighbor Kern County does each year, especially this year, show quite a number of positives of Western equine encephalitis. There's a lot of other ones. St. Louis encephalitis was found as close as Arizona. So there are a number of them that we are concerned about that we do know are in California. Malaria has been endemic in California. It's not any longer, but it certainly could make a reoccurrence. And so we monitor with our West Nile virus monitoring for a number of these other diseases. And there's always the future threats that you see listed down below there, the dengue fever and Japanese encephalitis and such of those, that while they're not in the United States yet, as you know, with travel the way it is, it would be very easy for them to make their way, as West Nile virus did in 99, here to the United States and possibly sweep across the United States, such as West Nile did. So a little bit about what our program involves. We have a number of facets to our program. One of our newer ones, we're trying to become more active in consulting on new projects, construction projects especially. We're trying to be more proactive and prevent a lot of mosquito sources from being built, or at least aid in the ease of our technicians treating these sources. We do not currently adulticide. I'll get into that a little bit more, and we don't have plans to, but I'm going to talk about that in a minute. We do have a very active larviciding program that is one of our main focuses, and we do a lot of disease monitoring. One of our new aspects also is the mosquito fish planting that's been very successful for us, and I know a number of the residents here in Atascadero have taken part in that. And then what I'm doing here tonight, public education. First off, our consulting on new projects. Like I say, everybody says, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And so we're trying to follow that by being active in the consulting, especially on winery ponds, and trying to get in with the homeowners that are constructing ponds. And we are currently working on some brochures and some information for the homeowners and the winery pond owners, and trying to give them a little information as to how they can keep from causing problems for us and themselves and keep from breeding those little mosquitoes, because we have found that the winery ponds can be very good breeding grounds for the mosquitoes. We're also trying to get into contact with the city and county planning departments and take a look at retention basins, drop inlets, and things of that nature to see what we can do to maybe prevent those from becoming sources for us. As I said, we do not adulticide with our program. It is not something that we have employed, nor do we plan to employ. We did get a state grant where we were able to purchase one truck-mounted ULV in preparation for the West Nile virus season. We did want to have that available to us in products to get suspended in the water column. The mosquito larva that you see up there will come along, and they will actually eat that bacteria. It goes into their gut. Their gut has a specific enzyme that activates the product, and then it destroys the cells in their gut, and then they starve to death. We like to use this product because it is very environmentally friendly. It's actually was isolated from soil over in Fresno. I believe that was the Vectolax bacteria was. And we also use a couple other products, Altacid and Golden Bear 1111. But they're typically a last resort or something where we need more residual. The Vectobac and Vectolex is typically the main portion of our program. The reason that we target these mosquitoes in the water with the larvicide is because there are three stages of the four stages of the mosquito's life cycle that actually occur in water. And we like to be able to target the smaller source rather than trying to target them once they're on the wing and can fly, because they can cover a lot greater area. As I said, the larvicides do go on a solid carrier, so we can apply them directly to the area that we want, and we don't have to worry about drift. They are environmentally friendly and species specific, which is very nice, because the only thing that the Vectobac and Vectolex will actually kill are going to be the mosquito larva or black fly larva. Our program does do a lot of disease monitoring. Here you see pictures of the four traps that we use. Down on the lower right, our technician Leah up there is setting the trap that we use most often, and you will probably see hanging around your homes or streets, maybe in parks. And these are a trap up in the red container there. We put dry ice, so if you see them, they sometimes do appear to be smoking. It's not a bomb. It's the dry ice actually turning into a gas, and the mosquitoes are attracted to this because it smells like our breath to them, and so they think that they're going to come over to that trap and get a little snack. Well, that white tube holds our battery pack that powers our fan down below. The mosquitoes are sucked into the fan and blown down to the net down below. We usually leave those out overnight. We'll come back the next morning, pick those up, and if we can get enough of them, we send them off to UC Davis and have them tested to see if they're carrying West Nile virus or some of the other encephalitis viruses. The mosquito magnet you see up above it, we use mostly for monitoring on any aerial applications that we do. The gravid trap, you may occasionally start seeing some of those. We're going to start employing those this year, but we just have a few of them, so that you probably will not see them routinely like you may see the carbon dioxide traps. And the New Jersey trap we don't use terribly often, because it actually results in a lot of time for me sorting out mosquitoes from other bugs, but we do use it on occasion to see what's going on in certain areas. We do some disease monitoring with the dead birds. The public calls in and reports dead birds to the hotline. And then we have animal services that will come out and oftentimes pick up the dead bird if it deems that it's one of interest. And it actually gets sent in and tested for West Nile virus. So we do look at those to find out where we are having dead bird cases, to see if we might have an area that needs to be treated. We also use the horse cases in civic groups that would like to have us. We do a lot of booths at local events. Hopefully some of you got to see our booth at the fairgrounds. We try and put that up every year. And then we do a lot of brochure distribution through things like Meals on Wheels and various methods to get brochures out for people to read. This program is actually new to us in 2006. It's our mosquito fish program. These little guys grow up to 1 to 3 inches in length, but each adult one will eat up to 400 larvae a day, so they can be a very effective means of mosquito abatement for us. And right now we have a lot of sign-up sheets out. Hopefully you've seen them around town. We encourage people to put their name on the sign-up sheet, and we like to bring these little fish out to their homes free of charge and put them in water troughs or ponds that aren't connected into natural waterways. Fish and Game does regulate where we put them, so we can't put them out into creeks and things of that nature because, as you see, they are very hungry little guys, and we don't want them competing with the native species. A little bit about where are we. I'd like to talk a little bit about the places that we are treating or monitoring here in your city. Hopefully, as you see these pictures come up, maybe you'll have some idea of where some of these are. Hopefully, they're not near your home. This is one of our most common problems. It results from overwatering. As you can see, we got the water from probably from somebody washing their car or from usually overwatering their lawn or having their sprinklers watering the concrete, running down into the drop inlets or storm drains in the street. This causes us a lot of problem because the mosquitoes love this area, and they will breed actually in the thousands in these things. So we do like for people to just water their lawn, don't water the sidewalk or your driveway, because this can certainly create a lot of problems for us. And we would like to have a more expansive program. We do try and spot treat one these that we do find are causing us problems, but we don't have an extensive program for treatment on those at this time. This area, maybe some of you recognize this one. This is a part of Santa Margarita Creek. This is a very popular, actually, swimming hole, I think. But certain areas of this creek, Santa Margarita Creek, that are here in Atascadero are actually fairly stagnant in the summer and will breed mosquitoes. So we do some monitoring and occasionally treatment of some areas that do cause problems for the residents around those and around one of the senior facilities that is located near this. This one, you may not recognize, this is actually a homeowner's pond. We are finding a tremendous number of these homeowner's ponds here in an Atascadero. And probably haven't found them all yet. They sometimes can be a problem. As you can see down at the bottom, this one is starting to develop some tules down there, the little dried tules, that can become quite a problem for us. The tules do hinder our treatment and make for great habitat for mosquito larvae, so they are something that we do encourage the homeowners to control. This one, hope maybe some of you overwater, and this leads, especially with Chalk Mountain, to kind of this swampy area that combines with the creeks and makes kind of a nasty little area for us. As you can see the home in the background, we do get quite a number of service requests actually from the homeowners living in that community right there, that they are being inundated with mosquitoes. And so we do try and keep this treated on a regular basis, but it is a very expansive, highly vegetated area that does require quite a substantial amount of time for our technicians to get in there and treat it. So it does cause us certainly some problems in treatment, but we are trying to maintain control on this area, and we do a lot of trapping on it to make sure that it doesn't become infected with West Nile. Here, this picture is, again, Chalk Mountain. As you can see, this kind of gives you an idea of the vegetation that our technicians are dealing with when we go in there to treat that swampy area. It's very hard to get in there and actually get that product into the water because you're dealing with a lot of this vegetation, willow trees and such as that. This area, maybe some of you recognize the new stoplight up there. That is 41 in San Gabriel. This area has been very prolific in the past, breeding mosquitoes, although it does seem like it has been cleaned out some, and we do treat it on a regular basis and will continue to do so. It does lead out into kind of a swampy area that the mosquitoes just seem to love this area, so we do keep a very sharp eye on it. This one is off of Los Osos Road. This one of the many, many, many creeks here in Atascadero that we are finding to treat. It slows down and dries up pools, gets kind of stagnant during the summer, and
people give us a call and we come out and do a lot of treatment on those. And so we're finding a lot of those that are requiring routine treatment throughout the summer for us. This site, maybe some of you are familiar with, it's we call it Tecorita. It's a creek that runs right through the both ends of Tecorita. And we have, in the past, spent a substantial amount of time treating this due to a lot of service requests that come from the area. And this year, it looks like the treating for us is going to be much easier. I do want to commend the city of Atascadero for actually cleaning some of the vegetation out in this area. It has made our job much easier, and we're going to have much easier time controlling the mosquitoes for those residents that live around this area. We are going to do, hopefully, a little bit of additional clearing. The state did grant us some funds, and so we want to go ahead and extend the clearing at both ends of this so that we'll be able to have easy access and get real good control on those mosquitoes in there. But I do want to commend you for cleaning that out. That certainly made us very happy when we saw that this year. And there's one more shot of it. This area is Graves Creek. Again, it's one of the many creeks that we are finding in Atascadero that does require treatment. Right now, it doesn't look terribly stagnant, but during the summer, we do get Atascadero State Hospital. We just found at the end of the 2006 season. As you can see, running right along in front of the sign here in the picture, there's quite a large number of dried tules. Unfortunately, those probably won't stay dry for long. They will green up and make beautiful habitat for mosquitoes. We were hoping that they were going to clear that out, but we're not so hopeful anymore. And there's quite a number of creeks like this that runs through the state hospital that are of very great concern for us. We have had a lot of dead birds actually reported in this area, and there does seem to be quite a large amount of habitat and water in the area where we could see West Nile virus infections coming from due to the large number of mosquitoes that will breed in that area. Just a couple additional statistics about us. We were taking a look at the number of service requests this year when we wrote our annual report for the program, and we found kind of this interesting trend that apparently every year we're doubling our service requests since we've been in existence. As you can see, we had slightly over 100 the first year. We went to slightly over 200, and then this year we were up to 417 service requests. If this trend continues, our program is going to be in a little bit of trouble because that's going to put us up over 800 service requests for this season. Most of our service requests come in during the summer months, generally between May and October. And like I said, we are a program of only three technicians, and those 800 service requests will exhaust our program. So we're hoping that doesn't happen, but kind of preparing for the worst that would put us our program at solely dealing with service requests and having a hard time keeping up with other things such as treatment and monitoring. This is a map of the service requests that we logged for Atascadero in 2006. We did log 53 service requests here for the city. It was, our second highest in service requests. Luckily, a lot of them that you see there are the red flags, and those are mosquito fish requests for us. We took mosquito fish out and planted them in troughs or ponds for these people. So there's quite a number of those, and we're very happy that there are quite a number of those because that prevents other kinds of service requests for us. We did take 33 fish service requests, so there was a predominant number of fish requests. Of the service requests were fish requests, so we were very excited to see that. But there were a number of other ones for creeks and container breeding and things of that nature. And lastly, a couple more statistics. We do provide service for the entire county, which is over 3,000 square miles. So we're looking at about 1,000 square miles per technician. So we do the best we can to get out to your service requests as soon as possible. But like I say, there's only three of us, and we are covering quite a large area.
I do have a note on there that there were three sites we did aerially treat. The county did not receive the state grant, so we will not be providing any aerial treatments of any of the sites that we did previously provide aerial treatment for. Humans and horses don't develop enough of a viremia in the blood to transmit it back to the mosquito.
So birds that carry, is there any other animals other than horses, humans, and birds that are affected negatively?
There's quite a number. They do have a program for, like, dead tree squirrel monitoring because the tree squirrels actually will succumb to West Nile virus, and they're finding it in quite a number of other odd species. Alligators, I know, are quite affected by it, and quite a number of other ones. But most of your livestock species, I haven't seen numbers where they are drastically affected. Dogs and cats, cats and may show some lethargia, but are usually not. It doesn't prove fatal to cats or dogs, for that matter. And usually in dogs, you don't see any symptoms.
Thank you.
Mayor Pro Tem Brenler.
Yes, thank you for your presentation. Just out of curiosity, can humans acquire this virus repetitively?
I'm sorry, once again?
Can humans acquire this virus repetitively, or do they build up immunity?
They're not quite sure on that one yet. It's only been in the United States since 1999, and they're hoping that we'll develop, once you've been infected, you develop an immunity, and that's why we may be seeing the numbers drop in California, is because people have been exposed and then do not acquire it repetitively, but they're not quite sure on that yet. It's to be seen.
Thank you.
Councilmember O'Malley.
Thank you. Any of the larger bodies of water that you treat that might end up being spots where children might swim, I assume that any of the treatment is not in any way harmful to swimmers.
No, it's not. Like I say, we do prefer to use the biological larvicide, the Vectobac and the Vectolex, and it's safe. If you kids swim in it, we don't recommend it, if you know that we've been there, not to, but it's very safe. A lot of people actually have the dogs may get into it and drink it, the deer. It's safe for the frogs to swim in and everything. It's a very environmentally friendly, very species specific to just the larva.
And do you notify neighborhoods of this activity, or is it posted in areas that you do treatment?
We do, when we're doing large-scale treatments, we do notify the area, but we do a tremendous number of small-scale treatments, even on a daily basis, and so if it's a very small scale, we don't.
And you're still part of the county health agency?
Yes, we're environmental health under the public health department.
And so if any folks have questions, they can either get to you through a website or a phone number if they have any questions about this program.
Yes, most certainly. They can contact us at the Environmental Health Department. They'll know which direction to point you, or even the Public Health Department would be more than happy to point you in our direction.
Councilmember Barreau.
I want to thank you for your presentation, and I know that there are a lot of ponds in our city, so hopefully people who are watching this will be taking down the information and ordering some fish or something for control.
We'd love to bring it.
And I just wanted to get a little feedback from staff. You said that you're involved with planning departments, and I know that we do deal with wetland issues. And is that something we are currently do, or is that something we're going to be doing? Or
well, I do know that the public works
material from the Stop Walmart people, so I've been doing my own little investigation as far as Walmart goes, and I go up to Walmart quite often, by the way, and I can tell you that you do save money there. But and anybody that doesn't believe that, I'd be happy to take them up, and they can go with me, and we can do some pricing. But when I was up the last time, I talked to a lady called Juanita. She had a 10-year pen, and she told me that her husband works at the horse ranches behind Atascadero here and is paid well but has no retirement or any types of benefits, and so she's been very happy that she has a 401k and for retirement, and that Walmart also puts money into that. She talked about stock options. She's developed quite a few stocks, so Walmart stocks. The bonus system is both with the store itself and with the Nationwide outfit. She also indicated that, you know, again, their starting wages are at $8.50, which is above minimum wage, and they top out at $21.36. Not too bad for our area. Also, this thing about 32 hours, there's a little lady that's right by the area where you go out at the garden area, and she's a greeter, obviously an elderly lady. I asked her how many hours she works. She told me she works a 40-hour week. She'd been there. She had a 10-year pin also, and very happy with everything. There's a little person, obviously disabled. He told me he'd been there 9 years. He also works a 40-hour week. So this company that people seem to think is so terrible, they hire disabled, they hire the elderly, and they have a lot of benefits, and they seem to pay their people very well. And as far as the city of Paso Robles and Arroyo Grande, the downtowns are doing quite well. If nothing else, they're in better shape than they were before Walmart came in. So I had one person recently tell me that he was against Walmart, and he's heard so many negative things that he's completely reversed around, and he supports the idea of Walmart. The other thing that I'm hearing a lot out there is that people are saying, let's put it to the vote of the people instead of fighting this thing, and let the people decide whether we want to have a Walmart, a super Walmart in our community. That's the end of my report.
Councilmember O'Malley.
Thank you. I have two items I wanted to bring up and see if we can get some council consensus or direction on. One, I know many of us have heard concerns about business recruitment and retention in our area, and I think something that the Chamber of Commerce has done a great job of, Mayor Loon and I recently accompanied on what's the Chamber produces once a month of a city staff and chamber business visits, where I have an opportunity to sit down with local businesses and hear any concerns they've had or problems they've encountered. I know recently, in addition to visiting McGee's restaurant that just opened up here, it was a great experience. I also went out and visited with the owners at the Mission Oaks at the Annex, and I know Councilwoman Bayrou had talked with the folks at another time as well. And some of the types of one, review our permit streamlining process and see if we could get a report back to council, and also consider some ways that we might be able to do some follow-up and follow up on some of these concerns raised by the business community. How are we doing compared to other areas? And I think there's a number of things we might consider. I think partnering with the chamber, much like we did with getting their help, looking at the sign ordinance revision, I think they were able to provide some good insights. I think they might have some ideas to help us look at this. And I do say I've heard good feedback about our staff. I do think we can help staff do better and hear from our community to see if there's some areas we could do. I know Mayor Luna suggested even looking at an ombudsperson. There's lots of options to consider. So I'd just like to elevate this to a higher priority and just think it through a little bit at the finance committee level with staff, and then bring back to see if we could get an update and report on how we're doing in tenant improvement, conditional use permit, and business retention, and then see if there's also some items we could consider. So that's a first suggestion I have, and maybe we could get some response to that before I go to my next question.
Well, staff wants to wants to report on permit streamlining when Councilwoman Scalise was on the council at that time. Maybe if we had some kind of update to that report.
We can do an update to the permit streamlining report.
Yeah.
And specifically tune into tenant improvements and conditional use permits related to businesses. I'd be comfortable with that.
Yeah, at least the
step.
Process of what we're actually doing now.
Good.
Any other council comment on that? Go ahead.
It'd be good to know where we are.
Right.
I think.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. Second option item that came up in my discussions, being a member of San Luis Obispo Council of Governments, on my way to San Luis, a couple of times I've noticed we've got a lot of trash along our state highways and haven't been as pleased with some of the landscaping
that has been done. And I brought this up at the Council of Governments and spoke further with Caltrans and was put in touch with a regional director that's had some model programs in other regions to do a better job on cleaning up with a multi-agency task force. And so I followed up with Supervisor Jim Patterson. He and I met with this regional representative, and we heard of some ideas of how we might do get some additional help in our area. Caltrans has some programs that if we can leverage more resources if we work cooperatively, and they suggest pulling together folks from the Sheriff's Department, CHP, local landfill operators, the Adopt a Highway program, and other organizations. There are some ways of escalating fees for folks that do not comply with covering loads on the way to dump sites, for example, and there's more help from probation and sheriff's office volunteers, so to speak, that Caltrans can leverage. So what the recommendation was is to put together a task force as done in Monterey County and others, is to include, for example, our two North County supervisors and some representatives from each city, along with representatives from some of these other organizations. And for very little resources from the city's standpoint, we can help partner with these other agencies to help clean up our two state highways and the spillover effect that that has. So,
on the COG, this also came up. So maybe in addition, I think that's an excellent suggestion of having some of you from the IWMA and from SLOCOG on such a committee. But I think it should also be added to the list that's going to Caltrans in that, what would you call it? It's not a committee, but Committee of City Managers in Mayor's discussing some of our complaints with Caltrans. I think it probably could be added to the list because it's a recurring problem that all of the jurisdictions have. Any council comments?
Yes. Oh, in regards to?
Yeah, in regards to that.
No.
I'd be happy to participate.
Okay, great. Did you have something? I don't know if I... Okay, Councilmember Clay?
Yes, Tom mentioned the outlet or the Mission Oaks or the annex or whatever, and I'm really concerned about that area, those stores. I drove through there and actually had a sandwich out there, and man, oh man, I mean, it's... pretty bleak out there. Prior to the election, talking to a lot of the store owners or the retail people out there, they were so excited about the possibility of an anchor store coming to the area, and there was all this optimism. And after the election, it seemed like obviously the new council does not favor a Super Walmart out there, and it's just like the whole area's in depression. And I don't know what the answer is, but it just doesn't look good.
Councilwoman Barreau.
I just wanted to let everyone know how much I appreciate comments that I've received through the website. There is an opportunity to pass along information to the council members, and we do receive those, and I do read them. I just want to apologize that I'm not always able to respond to all my emails and all those comments that are submitted, but I do appreciate them. And you know, every council member has a different take of the situation, but I still believe that people do not want a super center at Del Rio, and that's my opinion. And Jerry got to say what he wanted to say, so I just wanted to make that clear.
Let's put it to a vote.
Councilmember O'Malley.
Thank you. Well, I'm not going to talk about Walmart. Why I brought this first topic up was just looking at helping existing businesses and drawing in other businesses that are ready to come into town. That's why I met with the owners of the Mission Oaks, and they were actually pleased with the support they got from staff. They are in the process of actually trying to move out some tenants and moving in what they feel will be better tenants for long term, and they do have a couple of prospects. Their situation is they need a lot of help from the city to get these conditional use permits and tenant improvements in on a pretty tight time frame, because these outside entities have a pretty tight time frame, and they have
cancellation clauses in their leases. So I was pleased that staff was able to follow up with them, and it looks like we have a couple of new stores coming in that area. So I certainly want to give...
We would try to be a little more positive and stop some of the despair that's being spread. The Finance Committee saw the update as to what was happening in the as far as development was concerned, and that has been forwarded to the rest of the council, so we all have a copy of what's going on as far as development in the city is concerned, and I would encourage you all to read that. Seeing no other lights, we'll move on to the consent calendar. There are 7 items on the consent calendar, and because of my cough, I'm not going to read them all. Is there any member of the council who wants to pull one of those items? I'm seeing none. I'll ask the same of the public. Okay, I'll bring it back to the council, close it to the public.
Move approval.
Second.
Got a motion by Councilmember O'Malley to approve the consent calendar, as seconded by Councilmember Clay. Roll call, please.
Councilmember O'Malley.
Yes.
Councilmember Clay.
Yes.
Councilmember Bayrou.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Brenler.
Yes.
And Mayor Luna.
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
We move on to our first public hearing, which is the interim urgency ordinance establishing a moratorium on conversion of residential units to condominiums. City Attorney Pat Enright will give the report.
Thank you, Mayor Luna. Yes, this is the third time this has been before the council. We originally adopted an urgency ordinance to prohibit the conversion of residential units to condominiums last March. We had to do it a second time in May, and this is the third time, and this would extend the moratorium for another 12 months, which is the maximum time we can have a moratorium like this. The council has had 2 meetings on this, one last June, where we had a presentation, and then you also had a workshop, I believe it was February 20th, on this matter. So we are moving forward per the council's directions on an ordinance for condominiums and the conversions of apartments. And this would just, like I said, extend it for another 12 months. It does take a 4/5 vote of the council, like with any urgency ordinance.
Thank you, Pat. Could staff give us some estimate as to when this will come back?
We have the consultant working on it right now, the revised ordinance based on the direction we got from the council at the study session. I would expect probably late spring we should be ready to come to the Planning Commission.
Okay. I was on the radio and I said summer, so I guess that's close.
Okay.
Any council questions to staff? Seeing none, I'll close it to the council, open it to the public. Anyone in the public want to comment? Seeing none, I'll bring it back, close it to the public, and open it to the council for some kind of motion or discussion.
I'll make a move that we take staff's recommendation.
I'll second.
Got a motion by Councilmember Clay, a second by Councilwoman Bayrou for the staff recommendation. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Councilmember Bayrou?
Yes.
Councilmember O'Malley?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Brenler?
Yes.
And Mayor Luna?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
So we'll move on to management reports. This is a request to rename Traffic Way. The request comes from the Main Street Board of Directors. The staff report, Assistant to the City Manager, Marcia Torgerson.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Via a public process, staff assumes we would want to gain input from the community about how they felt. Also, we would need to consider what possible costs there would be, including a public noticing campaign to allow everyone to be aware that if you were to do this, that the name was going to change and how that would happen. Purchasing and the installation of the signs, if we are going to change the name of the street at all intersections. And also the cost to the people who live or work on that street, and in stationary and mail service changes and things like that. So staff is requesting direction from the council on this issue. I do want to mention that the next item on the agenda tonight is discussing the naming of the recreation center just in the same area on the same street, and the renaming of Traffic Way Park. So we recommend that you consider both these items together. They are related, and we probably should be considering them together. There are a few Main Street board members here if you'd like to ask them any questions, and I'd be glad to answer any questions also.
Okay, thank you, Marcia.
Mm-hmm.
Any council questions? Seeing none, I'll open it to the public and Main Street. Ken?
Thank you. My name is Ron Reisman. I'm a Tascadero Main Street Board of Director member. And we think there'd be a relatively simple request that we think would have some positive results. And again, Marcia mentioned that, you know, this could all be tied into the renaming of the park there and, of course, the community center, or the name of the community center. You know, the report, the tourism assessment suggestions from the Destination Development Incorporated that the city had done, suggestion 21 was to consider changing the name of Traffic Way. Their comments were, who would want to shop there, even go there? It sounds like a place or a street to avoid, particularly since visitors want pedestrian-friendly gathering places. And, you know, the word traffic from where I used to live meant slowing down to 5 miles an hour or less. And around here it means slowing down to 55 or 60 miles an hour. So it's not as big of an issue yet, but I think the word traffic when it comes to foot traffic is a good thing for our downtown, to create a place where people feel it's a good place to shop. And again, the word Traffic Way just kind of leaves a negative impression in people's minds. So I think that we as Main Street think it'd be a good move, a good decision to make, and we'll just leave it at that and leave it in your hands.
Okay, thank you, Ron. Did you have a question, Councilmember O'Malley?
Yes, Ron, I know you just took over as board president this beginning of this year, and a previous president submitted the request, so I don't know if you or Marcia could help. I'm wondering, on the survey that was admittedly an informal one, how many folks were contacted in total?
I don't have those numbers. I don't know.
Does our city clerk have that?
Don't know.
Sure. Okay. Now, I know either in parallel to the renaming or as something that could happen as an alternative, you know, we do have a signage.
Call me whatever, but living near the site of the old bridge, 10 years have gone by, and there's still trucks going up there at night, 2 in the morning, thinking that, you know, their maps have got the 41 highway going through there. They have a heck of a time backing out. A lot of times got to get out and help them. You know, two names, I could support that, or Colony District, you know, Traffic Way, Colony District, or something like that. But just pulling that off there, you're going to create, you know, that there's a lot of industrial all the way down to clear down to the end of Traffic Way, and it would create a real problem. That's my take.
Okay.
Thank you, Ron.
Thank you.
Anyone else want to speak on this item? Please line up.
Good evening. Ann Fletcher at Tascadero. I support Main Street's recommendation to change the name of Traffic Way and would like to see a more suitable name which would reflect the history of our community and the character and pervading spirit we're trying to create for our city and its downtown area. I would like to ask the council to consider, however, changing the name for the entire street up to Carrizo Road. Renaming only a portion of a street would be very confusing for not only the residents of our community, but to delivery drivers and visitors as well. I contacted the Atascadero Post Office and spoke with two supervisors regarding the name change proposal. Both supervisors stated that it would be better to rename the entire street rather than just a portion of it because of the confusion it would create, even though the name change would impact more businesses and residents. They explained that change of address cards would be mailed to everyone affected by the name change, and any mail addressed to Traffic Way rather than the new street name would be forwarded for a period of 1 year. The 1 year forwarding process would help in allowing sufficient transition period for the change. Thank you for taking this proposal into consideration.
Thank you, Ms. Fletcher.
Good evening, Joanne Main, 8940 San Gabriel Road. I had the pleasure of working on the Wayfinding Committee, and this exact issue came up even on that committee, I believe. And Lon Allen, we were asking, you know, how did Traffic Way come about? And he said somewhere in the 50s, before the 1950s, before that even, Jerry?
It's the ghost of the past coming out.
And I guess there was a time, you know, things change. And so there was a time when I heard that the road was called La Plaza Boulevard. And that's when there was the Mercantile and such stores like that on Traffic Way. And then at a time when a group thought that they needed a change, to them, Traffic Way sounded more like commerce, that was the thing to do. Up and actually, if there's enough time given to phase it in, that businesses can at least have this go into effect well before a phone book goes out. And usually all that information has to be in by May, I believe, and to get the phone book correct. Otherwise, I would put this off and cycle it in at that time. And there was another point, and I'm trying to remember what it was. Well, it's a good idea. It just is a good idea. The time is here, just like how they changed it from La Plaza Boulevard to Traffic Way, and now maybe we're living in a different time, and words mean different things to us. And we didn't think, I think, in that group that going all the way to Carrizo would be beneficial. I've been to other cities where they've had two names on the freeway, where it would say the new name, La Plaza, and Traffic Way. And you've all seen those signs in cities where they have arrows, you know, Traffic Way this way, and this way is the other street. I think that's all doable. I think all of the issues that might come up and all the flags that anyone could ever dream of can all work out. And I'm not here saying to name it Main Street after me. Thank you.
Thank you, Joanne. I would point out that Highway 41 is Morrow Road, so it's got two names, too, as do a lot of highways.
Hi, I'm Donna Hathaway, and I moved to Atascadero in 1941, and I walked to school for the eighth grade and 4 years of high school, and it was always Traffic Way. It has been that for an awful long time. I don't see the object of it. And I think if you would talk to some of the old timers, and I have talked to quite a few when that first came out, and we think it's ridiculous. Plus the fact I have been to other cities with Traffic Way, Roy Grandy, one of them. Not one person has said, oh, don't go down Traffic Way, there's too much traffic. I don't think that should have anything to do with it. It's been Traffic Way, and the old timers, it'll be Traffic Way until they're gone. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other member of the public want to speak on this? Say, Mr. Greening.
Eric Greening, just one wild thought. Rather than look at a chunk of it in isolation, knowing that it goes out to the historic Estrada Adobe, it would seem that maybe one other option to consider is name the whole thing Estrada Avenue. Another possibility would be to name it after the indigenous village that was out there, but no two historians seem to agree on the spelling. If we could get agreement, it's something like S-E-C-E-E-L or S-C-E-E-L-E or whatever, but I think that one is too tough to figure out. But Estrada, there definitely is a connection with that history there. So just another suggestion to throw in the pot. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Greening. Seeing no one else, I'll close it to the public, bring it back to the council. Council Member Clay.
Yeah, I want to see that map that has La Plaza Boulevard on it, okay? I don't, huh? Yeah, we'll see if it exists. But
about renaming the street is that we can actually call it something that identifies that exit as being the downtown exit,
I think it's very confusing for anyone who's visiting to know which exit to take. Some questions I had, and maybe we need to send it back to Main Street to do some more research, is I appreciate Ann Fletcher's comments. She's already talked to the post office, so that was good information to have. But like coordinating with Caltrans to change the sign, you know, they might take about 5 years to get a new sign. What it would be some financial impacts for businesses, and also what about legal aspects, like, you know, your deed of, you know, on your building is on traffic way. So what does that mean? And I'm sure Main Streets, you know, across the country have had experience, you know, changing street names, and what are all the different ramifications. So I'd like to get some little more, you know, information, maybe make it a study session so more people can come and give ideas. As Marcia pointed out, you know, we're going to be naming our recreation center as well. So if we call it Colony Avenue, should we call the recreation center Colony Community Center? You know, there's some of those coordinating aspects. So I'd like to move forward and say that I think it's a good idea, but we need to maybe fine-tune it and get some more public input on names, because we didn't have any names on here.
No. Did you bring that easy button? Councilmember O'Malley.
Yes, I agree with your comments. I think it should first go to staff to do at least an outline of what the issues are in terms of Caltrans signs, business signage, and addresses. I think we could get some help from the chamber on some estimates in that area and other issues. And then after we have that, at least a overview of a cost analysis of what this would entail, then I think it would be appropriate to send it back to Main Street to ask for their help on a public process to consider options, much like Parks and Recreation Commission did. And I think this is something I certainly would support and consider. I think it's something we don't need to rush into. I think we ought to at least get through the renaming of our recreation center, and that might give us some direction on some possible names. So I would encourage a little more work by staff first, so we identify costs and any issues that might be related to this, and then go start the public process of naming, maybe, and ask Main Street to help with that.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes. Hopefully you can take some of these suggestions back to Main Street about the possibility of two names, a portion of it, and so on and so forth, and get some feedback from them, because I understand you guys are not in accord with everything. I mean, there's some people that don't want to see it change at all, and others that would like to see it change, and there's some that are neutral. Maybe a number would be a good thing. But this is one we could study to death if you want to. It doesn't bother me a bit.
Yeah, and we haven't even suggested a name yet. Councilwoman Barreau.
I agree needs more work, but I would hate to burden our staff with another task. So I would like to send it more back to Main Street to, you know, within their own organization come up.
Brindler agreeing that we need to have staff do the analysis part, that's probably beyond the expertise of Main Street to contact Caltrans, get some cost estimates on what count of the signs, what needs to be changed there, and working with chamber in terms of what business costs might be, and with our city attorney to get some issues of just things that ought to be considered. I'm not sure about the resources of Main Street to cover the array of questions that might be pertinent to us to consider. I do think Main Street would be a good organization to lead the public process in naming, and I think I agree that those could occur in parallel. We probably need to get some feedback from Chamber and Main Street as to how much they can help on this project. Now, we can decide to give some work to staff. I'm not sure about if we can just decide to give work to two community organizations. We got to get their feedback, maybe.
Well, we do have a liaison. Assistant to the city manager, Marcia Torgerson, is on Main Street. So, Councilmember Clay?
Well, maybe the first step is Main Street, and then the analysis, if we get something solid. But the post office is, you know, the least of the worries, really. I'm sure that can be changed quite easily. But, yeah, you got maps out there that are going to, you know, they're going to go on for 10 years, it's going to create a lot of confusion if we don't if we do rename and we don't have the two names on the post. And I like the Colony District could be put on each street all along there, you know what I mean? Not just a traffic way, but all the streets have Colony District on them.
Would staff like to weigh in on this? I hear a lot of what ifs. I mean, I think council supports the name change for obvious reasons, but we're concerned about cost and implementation and what it's going to be called.
I would add, like I had said, that I think you do need to consider the community center and you do. There are a lot of things that you do need to, you know, we need to come back to you maybe with more information if you're going to be thinking about doing this, like you say, whether you should do part of the street or all the street or, I mean, there's all those issues. I did want to mention regarding Caltrans and the freeway. I have just sent a letter out today. As a matter of fact, they have agreed to put a downtown sign underneath the name Traffic Way on both off-ramps, north and south, so that when people are driving into Tascadero, they'll see the downtown sign. And so whether we change the name of Traffic Way to something else or not, we will still have downtown signs up there pretty soon, hopefully.
So it's not just one sign? It's
No, it's a separate sign that hangs below the name of the street. So those are going to be going up here pretty soon, just so you know.
So maybe we need some kind of action plan, process, or how we actually could accomplish this?
Perhaps you could give us an indication. I think Councilmember Burrow was trying to formulate the question, is this a project you want us to work on? If you answer that first, we could then create, what sort of priority is this? We can create an outline then and bring you some information back. Do you want us to – this was a request from Main Street, and so we're asking, do you want us to start working on this project?
Yeah, well – what I would like is more information about what it entails to work on this project, how much staff time, the cost.
And I think they probably have resources within Main Street organization. It's not just a Tascadero. It's statewide. If they could do, because it might be faster for them to work on it and then, you know, talk with Marcia and then maybe come back at a later time. I just would hate to burden our staff with more work at this point, because we have about, you know, five major things that they're supposed to come back by the end of April. And mm-hmm. So this could be June or July, I'm just guessing, you know, until we even come back and talk to it. And maybe Main Street, working with Marcia, can come up with something a little sooner than that.
Well, the city manager said at minimal cost, and I would point out that it's been Traffic Way since 1941. So I don't think there's a real urgent need to change the name. Councilmember Clay?
I agree, and I would think it probably goes into the 30s or even the 20s. It was Traffic Way, but the point is, I think Ellen makes a good point. Let's let Main Street and the Chamber come up and come back to us and see what they have to say and what the recommendations is, and then if we want to do a cost thing with staff, let's go ahead and do that. But you know, you got to include your property, not only taxes, but your descriptions and all have to be changed. It's quite a process. It's mapping and all kinds of stuff. So anyway, let's let Main Street and the Chamber fight it out first.
Mayor Pro Tem Brenner.
Yes, I just want to concur with that. I think that Main Street and the Chamber need to rally the troops, so to speak, because I got the impression that perhaps there was there's been kind of a lukewarm response. So I'd like that to be done, and then we can raise the flag and move forward from there.
So that's two, and I will certainly support that. So it sounds like we're kicking it back to Main Street, but I would hope that staff would be receptive to a minimal amount of research or professional help. Go ahead.
That we will do that. We'll outline the information that you asked for and the information that we can provide and give this to Main Street.
Okay. So enough staff direction. So we'll move on to consideration of naming the Recreation Center and renaming Traffic Way Park.
Thank you, Mayor Luna.
Yeah. Community Services Director Brady Cherry.
Council. This item was initiated by the Parks and Recreation Commission, and they took this project on because there has been some community discussion about the renaming of Traffic Way Park, as well as giving a name to the Recreation Center, which should open this fall. And so Vice Chairman Sandy Jack of the Parks and Recreation Commission got together with a subcommittee of the commission, included former Commissioner Bill Ausman, as well as Paige Buckmoyer, one of our youth representatives, and they got together to come up with some ideas and suggestions for the renaming of Traffic Way Park, as well as those suggestions, and tried to pare them down and give the City Council the top five names for each facility. And so they are as follows, and on the screen, Warren, can you put that slide up, if you will? For the park names, in order of preference, were Colony Park, Creekside Park, Mudhole Sports Field, the Sandlot, and Traffic Way Park. Then for the Recreation Center name, the top name preferred was Colony Park Recreation Center or Community Center, Creekside Recreation Center or Community Center, Colony Recreation Center, Atascadero Recreation Center, and Atascadero Oaks Recreation Center. All of the names submitted meet the city's facility naming policies, which I've included in your packet, with the possible exceptions of Mudhole Sports Field and the Sandlot. I'm not quite sure where that came from, but I don't see that those two names fit into our facility naming criteria, although perhaps someone could make an argument for that. After reviewing each potential name for both facilities, the council may decide to choose one of these names. None of them coordinate it with the previous item with Main Street and the Chamber. Those items, as I think someone suggested earlier, could be coordinated and discussed jointly. And I want to thank particularly Sandy Jack. He did a tremendous amount of work on this as far as getting the word out to the public, soliciting suggestions and ideas. In fact, he and Mr. Ausman both put up their own money as for a prize for whichever name may be selected, that there would be a financial incentive. And so also Mr. Jack, I think, has a list of facility names that weren't in the top five, which I think he intends to share with you this evening if you don't already have that list before you. So with that, I'll conclude my report and answer any questions if I can.
Thank you, Brady. Councilmember Clay.
When I hear that, Mr. Jack, I get this picture of Jack in the Box with a little hat and everything. And maybe you deserve that when you come back with a Mudhole Sports Field. come on. But anyway, the one thing I'm really concerned about is Henderson, Wilhoit, and Healy Fields. I don't want to see that ever to come off there because I think we really get into a bad area if we start changing names or taking names off. I remember going by Henderson Field and seeing Earl Henderson out there, and he was probably in his 60s with a push mower mowing the infield. And I know how much Mr. Healy and Will Hoyt did. They were instrumental in our early days of our baseball program. So please don't ever take those names off those fields. I think that because it is a community/recreation center.
Any other council comments? Seeing none, we'll close it to the council, open it to the public. Mr. Jack?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, council members. I'm going to ask Marcia here to pass something out. This is other popular names that came up, and while I'm talking to you about the others, she can pass this around. Thank you.
You've, of course, filtered all those, right?
Pardon?
You filtered all those, so we ended up with these.
I'm going to take you for a quick tour through the whole process from how we got, just fill in a couple of blanks that Mr. Cherry, because we had a pre-screening from once we got all the 81 names, we had the subcommittee met, went through it. Then we even involved, and the reason we went to the process that we did is we went to the newspaper, ran two ads, did not get a lot of response from that. And then the Atascadero School District Superintendent's Office allowed us to utilize the school mail process to get it out to all of the students, and we felt because of the recreation center and that they might have some unique ideas. Little did we understand how unique some of the ideas would be. I'd like to, you know, acknowledge Katie Horton for all of the support that she gave us. And we just felt that it was an opportunity to involve the community in the naming process. And we also felt that from the list that you got, which was a top five, that we'd take the balance of the highest number of names that came up. There's five under parks, and there's three additional ones on Recreation Community Center. These were the other top vote getters, and we thought we'd provide that to you, give you a little more, stimulate the thought processes maybe a little, because there's one or two names on there. Not sure how they got there. I guess I'm the one.
Sandy,
yes.
Both sides seem to have the same.
Oh.
What did?
I got one that has both sides the same thing. So.
Yes, it's just one page.
Okay.
You may have a piece of paper that belongs with another pack.
Okay.
I have another one here.
I have it. I've got it twice on both sides.
Oh, okay. Then that was my copy, and you weren't supposed to get that copy.
Okay, you can have it back.
That was an alignment problem.
Okay. You want to take questions, Sandy?
Sure. Sure.
Any council questions? Councilmember O'Malley.
Well, I just wanted to, again, publicly thank you. Could we see the vote on that? I'd like to see.
Was it unanimous on that? Or?
I don't know if Grace put that in the minutes or not.
Somebody somewhere likes that one.
Yeah.
Well, I know any two other people that like that one. So that's all I can tell you.
Well, thank you.
The one thing I would like to do is that at the conclusion of your picking a name, if we could set it up at a future council meeting where we could come back, get the winners, make the presentation, that kind of process.
You're assuming we can make a decision here?
Well, between now and the next meeting.
Thank you, Sandy.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Anyone else want to speak on this? Oh, please. Going to leave us hanging. Okay, seeing none, I'll bring it back to the council. And what are your... Councilmember Clay.
Yes. It seems like Colony is the thing. It is a Atascadero Recreation Center in some respects, but I want to try this and see what everyone likes. Colony Parks Community Recreation Center, and I think we need to get the community in there. It's a long name. It's even long without the community, so Colony Parks Community Recreation Center.
Okay. I would point out that the monument signs that the city's putting up says Colony of Atascadero, so it would be consistent with that. Councilwoman Barreau.
Well, I liked Colony Park, and then I was thinking of Colony of Atascadero Community Center, because since we have Colony of Atascadero. So there's two different names we're actually deciding, right? One for the park and one for the building. So the park would be Colony Park, and then the building would be Colony of Atascadero Community Center. That's what I thought sounded good.
Councilmember O'Malley.
Thank you. Well, it looks like we have consensus on the park name, Colony Park. It was the first choice.
It's all right with me.
I would support for the Recreation Center, Colony Park Community Center. I think Colony Park is important to keep that theme, and I think we need to get the word community in there. If we add recreation or not, that's fine with me. So it looks like we're very close.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
Mayor, I would suggest.
Wait a minute. Let's. Councilmember Barreau, I think, is next.
No.
Okay. Mayor Pro Tem Brenner.
Yes, I'm quite comfortable with Colony Park. Quite comfortable with Colony Park Recreation Center, or adding the word community in there as well. And just think, if we do get to the point of renaming traffic, maybe we could make that Colony Parkway, make them all consistent. Oh,
that sounds like a freeway.
Yeah.
Councilmember O'Malley.
Do you need a motion, or are we going to do this by consensus?
Let's talk a little.
I think a motion.
Okay, I'm going to move for the park name. We adopt Colony Park.
Why don't we do them separately?
Okay.
It'll be easier.
Okay, why don't we do that? Because I think we're done on that one.
Okay, so we have a motion to name the park Colony Park.
I'll second.
Motion by Councilmember O'Malley, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Brenler to name it Colony Park. Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Councilmember O'Malley?
Yes.
Councilmember Barreau?
Yes.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Brenler?
O'Malley is seconded by Councilmember Clay to name the Recreation Center the Colony Park Recreation Community Center?
Community Recreation.
Community Recreation Center.
Right.
Are you thinking of what that's going to take on a sign?
Well, it's a long name anyway, George, so you just got two lines instead of one, you know.
Okay. You got a motion and a second. Any discussion?
And I'm going to go with the assumption that we may be having Colony Park logos all over the place, and so underneath Colony Park, it may well say Community Recreation Center is
that's
of the building.
Okay. That's my
idea. Okay
too.
With that.
Yeah.
Councilwoman Barreau?
I think it's too long. I think we should keep it to Community Center.
Well had you seconded my motion?
Yeah. You could have seconded his motion.
Let's vote, and then we'll see what happens. We may have to go back to that.
I'm going to take this one more try. I'm going to revise my motion.
You got a motion. Let's vote.
I'm pulling.
He can withdraw his motion.
Yeah, I'm going to withdraw my motion and resubmit Colony Park Community Center. I do think it's shorter. If I get a second, fine. Otherwise, we.
Okay, I'll second it.
Okay, we have a new motion. First motion was withdrawn for Colony Park Community Center.
Yes.
Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Councilmember O'Malley?
Yes.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Councilmember Barreau?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Brenler?
Yes.
Mayor Luna?
Yes.
5-0. Motion passes.
And
that was easy.
So if we could make some arrangement to have the winner, I guess.
We'll agendize it for a special presentation at a future meeting.
Okay, that would be great. We move on to committee reports. Mayor's Roundtable met last week and discussed a number of issues. The mayor of Arroyo Grande, Tony Ferrara, is suggesting that we have a special League of California just for Santa Barbara and San Luis Obispo County, a special meeting to train council people, particularly mayors and mayor pro tems, in the running of a meeting, which I think is apropos. And so they would like to schedule that. If there's interest in other council members attending besides the mayor and mayor pro tem, we could probably arrange that, but there would be issues of Brown Act. So we have to straighten those out. We did discuss various issues in the community. It turns out that the mayor of Arroyo Grande, the mayor of Pismo Beach, the mayor of Paso Robles,
have not signed the mayor's climate control agreement, and the mayor of Arroyo Grande has said he will not. So that's interesting information. So the former mayor, O'Malley, is way ahead of his time. The water purveyors group met, and probably there's a lot of discussion on Los Osos and Santa Margarita Ranch, which is not pertinent to Atascadero. But what is pertinent is
announcements that the 2007 Central Coast Monster Skate Park Series will be kicking off at the end of the month on March 31st at the Atascadero George C. Beatty Skate Park. And the events are scheduled through June 2nd in various parts of the county. And also April 9th through the 12th will be the Spring Break Skateboard Camp. That's also held at the George C. Beatty Skate Park. And then on May 19th, they will have the 18th Children's Day at the park, starting at 11 a.m. at Atascadero Lake Park, and volunteers certainly are welcome.
Councilmember Barreau.
I have nothing to report, but the Waste Management or Integrated Waste Management Authority meets tomorrow, and I will be going early because there's an orientation for new members, which is myself. So I'll report next time.
Very good. Councilmember Clare?
No report.
Councilmember O'Malley?
Thank you. I would like to make a brief comment about the mayor's climate control initiative. Our city also initiated the Green Build MOU and the job site recycling, and I didn't feel there's any problem with the mayor's climate control initiative. We did actually work with the Home Builders Association, who also was able to sign on with that program, and we actually modeled our agreement with input from the Home Builders Association. So I was comfortable, and I think we had council support on that unanimously. So I think I'm glad our council was ahead on those areas. I also wanted to mention that league training that's being proposed. I believe our city manager, that's the same league training that's offered statewide. We're actually going to be bringing it into our local area, or is this something that's being developed unique? I don't know if you got.
I think it's it's something more focused than what happens at the league.
Okay, that sounds good.
And more focused towards government law cities instead of cities like San Luis Obispo that are charter cities.
I think that sounds good. We did receive funding at the state level for 46 widening out coming out of Paso. I think that's an important accomplishment for our area. That's quite a few million dollars coming into our area and will be things that won't come out of local funds at least. The Finance Committee did meet, and I think it is significant that we have staff monitoring the major projects going on in our community, and I think we are trying to be very business-friendly and proactive, and I know staff are working diligently with the projects that are on the table right now, and so I thank you for that work. The Economic Vitality Corporation Board did host the wine study recently that was up at the Paso Robles Inn. Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem Brindler, for attending. I think other folks had some other commitments, but it was very well received. It was by an organization that has national recognition in this area, and Atascadero is keeping its paddle in the water on regional tourism. We do have some opportunities, and we will be participating on some regional tourism planning along with EVC in that area, and I'll keep us all posted for opportunities in that area. And League of California Cities, we do have a regional meeting coming up. Marcia Torgerson and myself are on the Administrative Services Policy Committee that will be meeting down in Southern California coming
up. Suppress everything. People have emotions, and the spontaneity will come out from time to time, and that's all I have to say.
Well, thank you. Just to respond, I agree with you. When something's funny, I think we're probably all going to laugh. That's spontaneous. But I think there is an intimidation factor from both applause and heckling. And so we've seen it. And I was on the radio, and I took flack for the running of meetings. And I think that we've in the past gotten lax in the enforcement of the ordinances, and I think that we need to step up and make everybody comfortable with speaking at city council meetings.
George, certainly with the jury and I would agree with you, but I think one of the reasons that we're at this point is because we've been over backwards to let people talk. We allow 5 minutes. We allow them to come back for the second time. If you listen to the Pastor Robles meetings, I mean, does anybody in the public want us to talk? Seeing none, we're back to the council. I mean, it's a whole different attitude. We've had a good attitude towards people speaking and saying their piece, and even... gosh, we let them read newspapers and do all kinds of things that don't have anything to do with the council business. And I think that we and I agree with that. I think we need to let people talk and express themselves.
Well, I think both of us agree, and we've been the ones that really have always supported giving them the full 5 minutes. I'm just saying that when you have applause, or when you have a little heckling, or undercurrent. Then some people feel inhibited, and then they won't speak. And I think that's not what we want to have happen. We want to hear from everybody, even if they're shy or whatever. Anyone else? Okay, city clerk?
No report.
City treasurer?
Oh. Yeah.
City attorney?
I have none.
City manager?
Mayor and Council, I wanted to bring to your attention the next quarterly meeting for the mayor and mayor pro tem chair and vice chairs of the two commissions to get together is March 26th. We'd agreed that we had raised this issue at a meeting ahead of time so that you could discuss it, or if you wanted anything specific on the agenda for the mayor and mayor pro tem to talk with the commissions about. So I wanted to raise that issue. And secondly, I wanted to alert you. We do have the sign ordinance that the Chamber of Commerce and Main Street helped us put together. We've been inventorying the illegal banners. Within a couple of weeks, the illegal banner owners will receive a friendly reminder that those need to be removed, and then we'll be following up with code enforcement. There are quite a few of them, and so you might get... you might hear about that.
How about sandwich signs, sandwich board signs?
We're starting with banners.
Okay. Because there was one in the street, in the bike lane.
Any of those that are actually in the street or prohibiting a walkway or dangerous or anything, we're moving ahead on those. The whole process, we're going to be notifying them in the future.
Okay. Councilmember O'Malley?
Thank you. I would ask the mayor and mayor pro tem to bring up an item with, you know what I mean.
Yeah, I think I have an idea what you mean. But are you suggesting we talk to the planning commissioners? I mean, we've got one here.
We've got one in Parks and Recreation Commission.
He's also on the planning commission.
Well, that's right. Dual service. What don't you do, Sandy? What I'm suggesting is the city manager said, you have a joint session coming up of the that's what I meant. Was
well, it's with the chairperson and the vice
yes.
chair.
Yes, and yeah, so I think that's all I'm
that's
asking
a good suggestion.
For.
Councilmember Clay?
Tom talked so long I completely forgot what I was going to say.
Well, that ought to be worth
something.
Well,
that's a good thing. With that, we'll adjourn.